I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. There is work to be done. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, bringing you liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality and politician. We endeavor to bring you the truth, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who listens to this show, to all of those who broadcast this show. I want to thank you for getting this message out, all of you in who are posting this show. I am figuring out that this show is being posted. You know, I try to watch and see who's listening and where people are listening, so I can understand, you know, what things move, what things don't move, and that sort of thing. You know, just understanding the whole radio thing. I'm new to this, relatively speaking, and I've not had any journalistic training, which, by the way, Nancy Pelosi would say that means I don't qualify for any First Amendment consideration because I don't have bona fide journalistic credentials, but nonetheless, we know what we think about Nancy Pelosi, and we know what we know about the First Amendment. And so I enjoy watching how things move, and people are posting and embedding the show, and I'm very excited about it on Podomatic, which is our engine, our broadcasting engine. I don't know what you call that thing. It's where the show goes to, and it's how we get it on the websites and all this stuff. We are number one in the conservative category for Podomatic, and we are number 30 in all Podomatic broadcasts. And that's very exciting to me, considering, you know, my name's not Glenn Beck, right? That's very exciting for little old me. And so I love watching how this works, and I want to say thank you to all of you who are sharing the Chris Ann Hall Show, sharing the constitutional truth, sharing this voice of reason, logic, and constitution in a society, a media ruled by politics, by emotion, by irrational, illogical rants and raves. I'm very encouraged by what you do. I'm very encouraged by the faith that you have in the show, and I will endeavor to always bring you the truth. You know, we are entering into a very bizarre time. I mean, I can't even begin to describe how bizarre things have become. Our framers had a very clear perspective on the role that government should play, the duty of people, the people of society, to limiting that government, the people's duty to society to limit government, the proper role of the branches, who does what, who can't do this, who can do that, and how they're to be limited. And the culmination of the deliberate dumbing down of Americans in our government-orchestrated, government-designed educational systems is about to result in a very, very bizarre transition of government. We are about to have a government that will no longer in any way, shape, or form resemble the republic that our framers created. It's going to be, it's always by slow degrees. And some may be saying, well, it's hard to recognize it now. Well, yes, but we still have some lines. There are still some demarcations between branches and certain things that can and cannot be done. I mean, there's some certain things, but this next 2016 election, I don't know. It's going to be very, very strange, the outcome. I mean, I'm seeing who the candidates are. I know what they believe. I know how elections have gone in the past. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton. Is Hillary Clinton really going to be the presidential candidate for the Democrats? I don't think the Democrats have any other way out of it. I mean, I think because the Democratic aristocracy have decided long ago that they gave Barack Obama the opportunity to be the president instead of Hillary. Because you know just as well as I do that Hillary Clinton was going to wipe the floor with Barack Obama. I mean, there is no way that Barack Obama won that election if Hillary Clinton didn't step down. No way. Step back, step down, whatever she did. She gave that over to Barack Obama, and everybody knew it at the time. And now it's her turn. And so I don't see anybody else that the Democrats are going to put forward. The Democrats are never really threatened by the third party, right? The third parties that are the Democrats, the Green Party and the environmental parties and all this stuff. You know, they're really not a threat. It's not like, the third party candidate in the Republican races. A third party candidate in Republican races is a real threat to Republicans, but not to Democrats. And I'm seeing the only real candidate for the Democrats is going to be Hillary Clinton. And what do we know about Hillary Clinton? What we know about Hillary Clinton is Hillary Clinton believes Hillary Clinton can do anything and she's not responsible, like it's no big deal. It's no big deal to Hillary, then it should be no big deal to you. So what? I was using my own phone for secret, top secret information. So what? I was using my own cell phone. So what? People died in Benghazi and we let them die and I was responsible for that. So what? What does it matter? I mean, that is the whole Hillary Clinton perspective. She is Marxist. She is socialist. She is sociopathic. You know, perhaps not in the same way as Barack Obama, but nonetheless. So there we have our Democrat candidate for president. And now we have the Republican candidates, because there really are more than one going to go up in the primary. And the choices get even more bizarre. I read somewhere that Jeb Bush has just finally sold off the last of his interests in private business to run for president. I can't even believe this man is going to run. And it just makes me scratch my head because I realize the Bush family doesn't do anything to lose. And so they must know something that we don't know. So that's going to be a very interesting play, isn't it? I think the Bush family is really counting on the whole Bush-Clinton election thing again, because then they'll be able to rehash the old, oh my goodness, do you really want Hillary to be president technique? And then the whole, do you really want Hillary to be president technique will force everybody to hold their nose and vote for Jeb Bush. This 2016 election, I don't think, is going to go the way anybody expects it to go. And I think it's very exciting. It's very, very exciting to see what's going to happen. Are the people really going to give up on liberty? Are they really going to give up the ground that we've made? Will they really hold their nose and vote for Hillary Clinton? Will they hold their noses and vote for Jeb Bush? Well, the other interesting candidate for president is Lindsey Graham. Now, Lindsey Graham, is not a Republican. By any definition of the Republican Party platform. But yet, Republicans continue to vote Lindsey Graham into office because, you know, we got to vote the lesser of two evils, and we can't let the Democrat win, because if the Democrat wins, then guess what? You know, we end up with the other guy, right? So here we have Lindsey Graham running for president. But does Lindsey Graham understand what a president is? See, that's the whole question that we have here today, and that's why this whole transition now into 2016, this new presidential election in 2016, we have already broken down the barriers of the definition of what a president is. We no longer require a president to be a natural-born citizen. That's all out the door. I mean, the Republicans don't even want to follow that anymore either. So, you know, we've completely eliminated that qualification for president. We didn't have a constitutional convention and amend the Constitution. We're just going to, it's a brave new world. It's a wholly different society. And, you know, we just not the same people anymore. And who cares if this guy is a natural-born citizen or not? He's the best one we got. We like him. He's moral, whatever, right? So we're just going to throw that out. We're going to get rid of the whole natural-born citizen requirement, regardless of the good reasoning that our framers had behind it, regardless of the fact that every reason our framer had behind the natural-born president requirement is being proven by Barack Obama. We're just going to set that aside. We don't need that anymore. So as a society, we don't understand, or we don't want that limitation on the House of the President. As a society, we don't care that the president writes executive orders. If they don't bother us, then they're okay. But if they're going to try and take our ammunition, then we might get a little excited about that. But after all, then, you know, if he does and we're excited and he does it anyway, then what are we going to do about it? So we're transmuting this whole definition of president, which means this election is going to be very strange. I want you to hear why the president is so limited in what our framers actually intended.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
The other thing that we don't like about the limitation on the House of the President is the fact that Congress needs to declare war. And so we've set that aside. We don't need Congress to declare any war anymore. We're going to put that aside. You know, and it's okay for both sides of the fence, right? Because George Bush didn't care, and Barack Obama doesn't care, and, you know, I mean, nobody cares anymore. So about that limitation, about the president simply declaring war. And after all, you know, he's not really declaring war. He's just pointing out where we need to go and fight. And because we need to go and fight there, it's not really a war. We're just sending over troops to, what, aid and help people and keep peace people are shooting and people are dying and bombs are going off and planes and ships and guns, but it's not a war because, you know, we don't need that anymore. We don't need wars anymore. We can just constantly engage in everybody else's business. And so we don't need the constitutional limitation on the president anymore. We can allow the president to engage our troops all over the world without real declaration of war by Congress. We don't need that limitation. And, you know, what else we don't need? We don't need that silly little limitation of the president being constrained by two-thirds of the Senate to make treaties. After all, not all treaties are treaties. I mean, some of them are executive agreements. And I've scoured. I've absolutely scoured the Constitution. I even got the Constitution on the internet and then did a word search for executive agreements. I couldn't find it anywhere. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that I don't have the whole living, breathing interpretation search engine. You know, my word search doesn't use living and breathing interpretations of words, and so I can't find this presidential power delegated called executive agreements. So apparently, you know, throughout the years we no longer need the president to be bound by two-thirds of the Senate to make treaties, because we'll just call them executive agreements instead, and then the executive agreements will go away when the next president comes if he doesn't like that executive agreement, sort of like an executive order. Wow, are you seeing a trend here? Because we don't need two-thirds of the Senate to approve of a treaty anymore. We can just have an executive agreement. And we don't need Congress to make laws anymore because we can just have executive orders. And so I really want us to see how we have completely transmuted this house of the president, this power of the president, into something that simply is no longer constitutionally recognizable. Which makes 2016 a very, very interesting presidential election and should make us pay very, very close attention to the people that we're electing. You know, there is a very true, a complete truism that power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. And at this point, I don't even know if George Washington could handle this kind of unlimited power. And I think that's probably why George Washington refused to be king. When right after the Revolution, the people were begging George Washington to be king, he refused. Perhaps George even knew at that time he couldn't handle the unlimited power of being king. But that's who we have, isn't it? Isn't that what our presidents are now? I mean, you no longer need Congress to pass laws. The president can issue decrees. We no longer need the Senate to approve treaties. The president can make executive arrangements and executive agreements. We don't need Congress to declare war because, you know, the president is very capable of doing that. We don't need Congress to give definitions of laws anymore. We simply leave definitions out of legislation so the executive branch, the president, can define terms. We can have the ATF banning ammunition, and that's okay. We don't need the Constitution at all. So where are we? I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, because she filled me with love and the strength to leave. She said,
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So, what was our president supposed to be doing, and why are these limitations important? James Madison said the Constitution supposes what history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war. And most prone to it. It has accordingly studied with care, vested the question of war in the legislature. Knowing that the executive is the branch most prone to war. They specifically kept that power from that branch. But we have systematically, over time, eliminated those restraints and created not a commander-in-chief, but a king. A king over laws, a king over military power, a king over the people, and a king over Congress. These limitations, these essential checks and balances, are necessary to the preservation of a limited government. And because we have been completely, deliberately dumbed down over the years through government re-indoctrination, government retraining programs called public education, it is amazing the ignorance that is leading to our inevitable destruction. And is that extreme? Is that apocalyptic? I don't know. I mean, I have read so much of what our framers have said and why they did what they did to protect us from the stuff that we're actually looking at now. And these things are coming out of the people's mouths. These people who are supposed to be restrained, who are supposed to be limited. We have 47 senators who write a letter to the president of Iran explaining how the president can make executive agreements. How is it that the very branch who is supposed to have the enormous power and the enormous responsibility of checking and balancing this president to keep him from becoming a king believes that he has a power he doesn't have? I mean, there's so much distinction here between a president and a king that has been completely eliminated because we don't know. And so now we have people in government talking like we have kings. And supporting this idea that we have kings. We have the people who are agreeing with the 47 senators. Oh, well, you know what? They're right. And they should be writing letters to foreign presidents, because I'm not quite sure why, what control we have over foreign presidents when we don't even have any stinking control over our own. But, you know, it's okay. They should be doing that. They should be telling it. And they're not really telling the Iraqi government. They're telling the American people through the Iraqi government. You know, I don't know what to tell you about that. The problem is the letter is false. Okay? They admit that the president must be limited by 2/3 of the Senate in creating a treaty, but then go off and say, hey, you know, well, they can do these executive agreements as well, but when we win, then we will change our executive agreement. Why? Do you catch that? Because when we win, we'll change the executive agreement, because they don't want to give up that power. They want Jeb Bush to have that power when he's president. They want Hillary Clinton to have that power when she's president. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Hillary Clinton exercising the same power as Barack Obama? But more, because presidents never stay at the status quo. They always increase their powers. That's how it's happened. Barack Obama only is Barack Obama because of the way that George Bush transmuted the office of the president. George Bush gave Barack Obama a launching pad. And so now, this is why this is so important. This is why the Constitution is so important. And this is why leaving the Constitution is so dangerous. Because each president becomes a launching pad for the next. What comes after Barack Obama? What if Jeb Bush becomes president? What if Lindsey Graham becomes president? Well, I want to play for you a clip from Lindsey Graham. He gave a little speech in, where was he? I think he was in South Carolina. You know, I mean, that's where he lives, right? Giving a little speech. And this is what Lindsey Graham said when the first thing Lindsey Graham is going to do when he becomes president.
And here's the first thing I would do if I were president of the United States. I wouldn't let Congress leak down to reduce this. I would literally use the military to keep them in if I had to. We're not leaving town until we restore these defense cuts. We're not leaving town until we restore the intel cuts.
How can Lindsey Graham make a statement like that? Because we have transmuted the role of the president. We don't understand that the president is supposed to be under Congress, not ruling over them. Even Lindsey Graham, even the Republicans in the establishment Republicans believe that the House and the office of the president is superior to Congress. And that if the president doesn't like what Congress is doing, we'll just force them to do it. I mean, that's how we have developed this House of the President over the decades. This office of president now is king. And everybody's okay with that. Everybody is okay with that because they know that power flip-flops and there's only two choices. And, you know, your guy's president this time, my guy's president next time, and your guy has this power as long as it's okay, then my guy has that power too. Can I just point something out to you? Can we just read through something really quick here? Starting with William McKinley, president from 1843 to 1901. Are you ready? So he's number 25. Number 25 is a Republican. Number 26 is a Republican, Teddy Roosevelt, who was really a liberal progressive. He was a rhino. We have William Taft, who's a Republican. And then we have Woodrow Wilson, Democrat. And then, now let's go. Ready? Democrat, Republican, 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 Democrat. Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat. Do you see how that works? I mean, it's just a trading off of offices. There's no deviation in there. Republican, Republican, Democrat. Republican, 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 Democrat. Democrat, Republican, Democrat. Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat. Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat. Republican, Democrat. They just trade off. Nobody wants to give up that power because they know it's just a trade-off. Your guy will have power, this power for a little while, then my guy will have the power for a little while, and guess what? While my guy has power, we'll get more power. Now we'll have to let you have that power for 4 years, maybe even 8 years. But then, guess what? We get the power back. But while your guy is president, make sure you give us a little bit more power. Until we get to the point where the people are absolutely brainwashed that the president of the United States is the leader of the country and that we have to elect leaders as presidents because it's the president's job to rule over all of the other branches and be the leader of America. No, no, no. The president was never supposed to be the leader of America. The only thing the president was supposed to be was the leader of the Army and the Navy of the United States. That's it. As a matter of fact, even in a position that might appear to be a leader outside the Army and the Navy in the creation of treaties, he was not a leader, he was an agent. The president has no power to say anything to a foreign government that is not also approved by the states through the Senate. But because we have been so dumbed down, we have absolutely no idea what the House of the President is, and we are wondering who is going to be the next leader. And it's really the same person. Every single time. Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican. It's the same person every single time. And every single time increasing more power in the House of the President, giving more power. And we have a king. We have a king in the House. And everybody's okay with that. Because we don't know any better. And so then we can get Lindsey Graham to say things like, the first thing I'm going to do when I'm president, I'm going to lock the Congress down by military force. Now, if the people in South Carolina understood what Lindsey Graham was saying at that moment, had been taught the truth about the limited nature of the office of the president, had been taught the real reason the Constitution created a limited and defined central government. People, you wouldn't have heard silence in the background. You'd have heard people shouting. There'd have been no way Lindsey Graham would have been able to complete his sentence. Now, Lindsey Graham has not apologized for what he said. As a matter of fact, my friend Ben Swan tried to get in touch with Lindsey Graham for a statement, and the only thing they responded with was, quote, "Due to the large volume of mail I receive, I regret that I'm only able to respond personally to inquiries from South Carolinians." So there you go, Ben. I'm sure Lindsey Graham wouldn't turn down your money, Ben, but he won't answer your questions because you're not a South Carolinian. You know what? If you put yourself up for running for president, then that statement should no longer be allowed. He should no longer be allowed to make any statement that I only personally acquire, respond to inquiries from South Carolinians. No, Lindsey Graham, you've announced that you are running for president. You no longer are limited to South Carolinians. What you say and what you do and your position affects the entire country now, because we don't have a limited office of the president, we have a king. And everybody needs to have a proper understanding of what their king believes. And apparently King Lindsey Graham believes that he can hold the Congress hostage by military force. And that's, I guess, okay. Because nobody's saying anything about it. Except Ben Swan. It's time to get back to foundational principles.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Now I want to remind you, Madison said, the Constitution supposes what all history of governments demonstrates, that the executive branch of power is the most interested in war and most prone to it, is accordingly studied with care, vested the question of war in the legislature, meaning you're not supposed to be able to go to war without this congressional official declaration of war. Alexander Hamilton, our big government guy, made the distinction why our president is not a king. He says the president is to be commander-in-chief of the Army and the Navy of the United States. In this respect, his authority would be nominally the same with that of a king of Great Britain, but in substance much inferior to it. He said it would amount to nothing more than supreme command and direction of the military and naval forces as first general and admiral of the Confederacy, while that of a British king extends to the declaring of war and to the raising and regulating of fleets and armies, all which, by the Constitution, are under consideration, would appertain to the legislature. You see, the president is only supposed to be the general who is pointing where the troops go after Congress has raised the army, regulates the army, and declares war. The president has no say in that. Why? Because we know presidents, executives are prone to war. And I want to share a clip with you, a very disturbing clip for me, and I don't know. I hope that it's disturbing for you, too. This is a clip by a general named Robert H. Scales. General Scales was named the director of the Desert Storm Special Study Group in 1991. He authored a book called Certain Victory, which is the U.S. Army's official account of the first Persian Gulf War. He became the deputy chief of staff for the Army Training and Doctrine Command Center in 1995. He developed a blueprint for designing future military forces. He was also appointed as commandant of the U.S. Army War College in 1997. He is an advisor to presidents on war. This is He is the man who the people look to through Desert Storm, through the Persian Gulf War. He became the trainer of the man who created all the training for all the people in the army and was appointed as the commandant of the U.S. Army War College in 1997. This man has the ear of presidents. And he is now a Fox News correspondent. They go to him on these things. I want to play a clip for you what this man says about what's going on in the Ukraine. I want you to keep in mind James Madison's and history's declaration of who an executive is and what they're prone to be. When you hear this advisor to presidents speak on Fox News.
Very quickly, Ukraine, 3,000 U.S. troops deploying to Eastern Europe. Some armor will be going with them, apparently. To what effect, and what do you expect?
I think to no effect, Lou. It's game, set, and match in the Ukraine. The only way the United States can have any effect in this region and turn the tide is to start killing Russians by killing so many Russians that even Putin's media can't hide the fact that Russians are returning to the motherland in body bags.
I missed the declaration of war in the Ukraine. I missed the congressional declaration of war in Ukraine, and this man is who will be advisors to presidents is saying, guess what? The only way we're going to have any effect in the Ukraine is if we send Russians home in body bags. And Madison said, it is the executive branch prone to war. I want you to think about that when you're going to the ballot box. What kind of attitude is... I mean, that should be... Lou Dobbs is not going, what? Are you kidding me? How do you say that? There's no outrage on Fox News. What? Oh, my goodness. I just want to ask you, what kind of presidential power do you want? This is the result when you give that much power to a branch that is prone to war. Is this what we want for the future of America? Think about that when you think about who you're going to support for president. We have a president who will rein back the power, or will we have a president who will use Barack Obama as a launching pad to become even more kingly? This 2016, these next 2 years are going to be very, very important. What we do before we have this president and after we have a new one is going to be who we are. God bless. See you tomorrow.